Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at something that's been causing quite a stir online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It all surrounds the recent dismissal of General Charles Q. Brown, Jr., you know, the second African-American to ever hold the position of chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Oh, wow.
And to make things even more interesting, it all went down during Black History Month.
Wow, the timing of that is, you know, it's certainly interesting.
Yeah, and to break it all down, we'll be looking at this article here from the Church of Tinkerbell, titled Distinguished Black Officer Fired During Black History Month.
Okay, so right off the bat, I mean, what are your first thoughts on all of this?
Well, I mean, it's pretty hard to ignore the timing of it all, right? I mean, Black History Month is supposed to be, you know, a time for celebration and reflection on all the things that, you know, African-Americans have contributed to society.
Yeah.
So to have, like, this high-ranking military leader dismissed during this specific month, I mean, it definitely makes you stop and think.
Yeah, for sure. It sends a pretty strong message, wouldn't you say? Like, what are they trying to say here?
Exactly. And the article really digs into that whole symbolic aspect of it.
Okay.
But before we get too deep into that, let's talk about General Brown himself for a second. I mean, this wasn't some, you know, overnight appointment. This guy had an incredible career, over three decades in the Air Force.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just looking at his record, his credentials are impeccable. Decorated pilot, a strategic thinker, you know, worked his way up through the ranks. So it's not like he was, you know, lacking in experience or qualifications or anything like that.
No, not at all.
So it makes his dismissal, which, by the way, the article describes as unceremonious. It makes it all pretty perplexing.
Yeah.
Seems to suggest a real lack of respect for his service and his achievements.
Yeah, unceremonious. That's a pretty deliberate word choice, you know? It makes you wonder if there's more to the story than we're being told.
Mm-hmm.
Especially considering the article goes on to say he was replaced by retired Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Kane, a white officer.
Mm.
Now, we don't really know much about General Kane at this point, but this whole thing immediately brings up the issue of representation.
Right. And it makes you wonder, you know, is the administration truly committed to a merit-based system when they're making these appointments? Or are there other factors at play here?
Yeah. Good point.
Because if qualified people, you know, from minority backgrounds are being overlooked or sidelined, that's a pretty big problem.
It definitely throws that whole level playing field idea into question, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And this leads us to another big point the article brings up. The elimination of diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI programs, within the federal government.
Oh, right. The whole idea behind them was to promote inclusivity and address any systemic inequalities within the government. And they had, you know, all sorts of initiatives like mentorship programs for minority employees, training on unconscious bias, really working to diversify the workforce at all levels.
So it wasn't just some like abstract idea.
No.
They had actual programs in place.
They did.
But the article states that President Trump issued executive orders to dismantle these programs, arguing that they were actually counterproductive and went against the whole idea of a merit-based system.
Okay, well, this is where it gets interesting, right? You have two very different viewpoints clashing here.
Right.
On the one hand, you've got people who strongly believe that DEI programs are essential to creating a truly fair and equitable workplace.
Yeah.
That these programs are necessary to level the playing field and make sure everyone gets a fair shot, regardless of their background. But on the other hand, you have those who believe that these programs are actually discriminatory because they give preferential treatment to certain groups based on race or gender.
Right.
They say that a real merit-based system should only focus on a person's qualifications and not take their identity into account.
It's a tough one for sure.
And the article really does a good job of capturing this tension between those two opposing viewpoints.
Yeah.
It presents both sides of the argument, which I think is, you know, important for us to consider. Because at the heart of this whole debate, there's a fundamental question. What does it really mean to have a fair and equitable society?
Right.
Right, you know.
And does the government have a role in creating that fairness?
Exactly.
That's a big question. But before we, you know, get too lost in the weeds here,
yeah,
let's circle back to General Brown and the timing of his dismissal. I mean, the fact that this all happened during Black History Month, it adds another layer to this whole situation.
It certainly does. I mean, imagine if this had happened during Women's History Month and a highly accomplished woman was removed from a prominent position.
Right.
There would definitely be a lot of talk about gender equality.
Oh, absolutely.
So to have this happen during Black History Month, I mean, it really leads to the question of whether race played a role in this decision.
Yeah.
Right.
And the article doesn't shy away from that question either.
No.
They point out that many people are taking this as a direct message from the administration, a sign that they're not putting diversity and inclusion at the top of their priority list.
Yeah, the symbolic aspect of this is hard to ignore. It's almost like they're saying, this is what we think of your history, your achievements, your contributions.
Yeah, powerful message.
It is.
Makes you wonder what the consequences are of sending that message, not just for Black Americans, but for the whole country.
Yeah, that's a question we definitely need to explore. And it kind of brings us to a broader discussion about the state of diversity and inclusion in America today.
Yeah.
You know, is this an isolated incident, or are we seeing a deeper shift happening in our society?
That's what I think makes this deep dive so interesting.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about one person or one policy. We're talking about the values that actually define us as a nation.
Mm.
We're talking about symbolism here, representation, maybe even the undermining of meritocracy. I mean, it's a lot to unpack.
It is.
And this deep dive wouldn't be complete if we didn't look at the article's main argument, right?
Yeah.
That these actions, when you look at them together, are a step backward in the fight against systemic racism.
Mm-hmm.
And for greater diversity in the U.S. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a pretty bold statement.
It is.
But I think there is a lot to unpack there. I mean, the article points out that getting rid of, you know, dismissing a high-ranking Black official at the same time that you're getting rid of programs that are designed to promote inclusion, it kind of creates a concerning narrative, don't you think?
Yeah.
Like, it sends a message that progress toward equality, maybe it's just not a priority.
Yeah. It's not just about optics, right?
No.
The article talks about some real-world consequences. What stood out to you?
Well, they really emphasize the potential impact all this could have on future generations.
Mm.
They even highlight this term. It's called the Great Resegregation.
Okay.
It's a term that's been coined to describe the increasing racial and economic segregation that we're seeing in, well, basically all aspects of American life.
Oh.
Housing, education, healthcare, you name it. And the article suggests that, well, these recent actions, they could actually contribute to this trend.
Hold on. Can you explain the Great Resegregation a little bit more? I mean, some of our listeners might not be familiar with that term.
Right. So basically, it's this idea that despite all the progress that was made, you know, during the civil rights era,
mm-hmm.
we're actually seeing segregation come back in a lot of areas of society.
Oh, wow.
Like schools are becoming more segregated, with students of color often concentrated in underfunded schools, schools that just don't have enough resources.
Yeah.
And similar patterns are starting to emerge in housing, healthcare access, and even employment opportunities.
So the article is suggesting that dismantling DEI initiatives could actually make these problems worse.
Exactly. The argument is that DEI programs, and yeah, they're not perfect.
Right.
But they were at least a step in the right direction. They were like an attempt to address these inequalities, right, to create a more level playing field. So by, you know, rolling back these programs, the concern is that we're removing important safeguards against discrimination and basically just making things worse.
Making existing inequalities even worse, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this potential backslide in the fight against systemic racism, a potential worsening of the Great Resegregation. I mean, what does the article propose we do about it?
Well, it doesn't really offer a concrete solution,
mm-hmm.
but it does urge people to get involved, you know,
yeah.
make their voices heard and resist these changes. It talks about how important civic engagement is, whether it's through voting, contacting your elected officials, supporting organizations that you believe in,
yeah.
or even just having conversations about these issues with your friends and family.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good reminder that democracy really does require participation.
It does.
We can't just sit back and expect things to magically fix themselves.
No, definitely not.
We have to be active, engaged citizens.
Absolutely. And it's not just about, you know, those big gestures or political activism.
Right.
It's about the choices that we make every day.
Mm,
like the article talks about supporting businesses and organizations that prioritize diversity and inclusion, right?
Okay.
Educating ourselves about these issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we see discriminatory attitudes or behaviors, calling them out.
Right. Challenging them.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that change, you know, it really starts at the individual level.
It does. But the article also points out that collective action is really powerful, too. It mentions that all across the country, there are all sorts of organizations and communities that are speaking out against these decisions.
Yeah, they're mobilizing.
Yeah, they're organizing protests.
Raising awareness.
Exactly.
And the Church of Tinkerbell, the source of our article today, they're one of those groups.
They are.
They're known for their advocacy work, especially on social justice issues. And they're very vocal about their opposition to these recent developments.
Right.
You know, you mentioned earlier that they don't shy away from asking tough questions.
Yeah.
Do they suggest any specific actions people can take beyond just like general civic engagement?
Well, they really urge readers to support legal challenges to the executive orders that are dismantling DEI programs.
Okay.
They also encourage people to donate to organizations that are fighting for racial justice.
And to really learn about the history of systemic racism in the U.S.
It sounds like they're suggesting a multi-pronged approach then.
Yeah.
To tackle this issue from like all angles.
Right. Legal, social, and personal.
It's not just about changing laws. It's about changing hearts and minds. Right?
Exactly. And that's what makes this conversation so complex.
Yeah.
It's not a simple issue with easy solutions. It requires a deep understanding of history, a willingness to, you know, really listen to different perspectives, and a commitment to actually doing something about it.
You know, as we're talking about all this, I keep thinking about the ripple effects of these actions.
Yeah.
Like, if the federal government, which is the largest employer in the country,
right,
if they're not prioritizing diversity and inclusion, what message does that send to other institutions, to businesses, to communities?
Yeah, that's a really crucial question. Because if we start seeing diversity and inclusion decline at the federal level, it's very likely that's going to trickle down to other sectors. It could create a climate where discrimination becomes more acceptable, you know?
Yeah.
Where opportunities become much more limited for certain groups.
Yeah.
And all the progress we've made toward equality, it could just start to unravel.
That brings us back to the big question of this whole deep dive.
Yeah.
Is this actually a step backward for diversity and inclusion in America? I mean, we've looked at, you know, what it means symbolically that General Brown was dismissed during Black History Month.
Right.
We've looked at the arguments for and against DEI programs, and we've talked about what might happen if those programs are eliminated. We even touched on the call to action that all these different groups are putting out.
Right. Yeah.
So what do you think? What's your takeaway from all of this?
Well, it's complicated.
It is.
There's no easy answers.
Nope.
But I think the main thing is we're at a really important point in time. The decisions we make now, both as individuals and as a society, they're going to have a huge impact on the future of diversity and inclusion in this country.
It's not just about race either, right?
Yeah.
This is about creating a society where everyone has a real chance to succeed.
Yeah.
No matter their background, their identity, anything like that.
Absolutely. It's about building a world that's more just and equitable for everyone.
Right.
And that means we need to be informed, we need to be engaged, and we need to be willing to challenge the way things are.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive,
mm-hmm.
I want to leave our listeners with something to think about.
Right.
We talked about the great resegregation and what it could mean for the country.
Right.
But have you, dear listener, ever seen this happening in your own life? Maybe you've noticed it in your neighborhood, your kid's school, your workplace, even just in the media you consume. Take a minute to think about your own experiences and how these bigger trends might be affecting your own little corner of the world.
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about. It really is. And as we move into this last part of our deep dive, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier, about how this whole thing might affect other high-ranking minority officials. The article doesn't really say why General Brown was dismissed, but it does make you think, like, what message does this send to other people, you know, who are trying to reach those top leadership positions?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's hard to say for sure, but I think it could definitely discourage some people.
Yeah.
Like, imagine you're a young Black officer in the military, or a Latina lawyer hoping to make partner, or an Asian American entrepreneur trying to, you know, get funding for their startup. And you see what happened to General Brown, someone who reached the very top of his field, and he's just removed. And a lot of people see it as disrespectful, right?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if the system is really fair. You know,
right.
Of all your hard work and talent, is it really enough to overcome all the obstacles?
It feels like we're going backwards in time almost, like
yeah.
We're moving away from that whole meritocracy thing.
Right. And going back to a system where your chances are limited by things you can't control. And that's pretty disheartening, especially when you think about how much progress we've made. you know, in recent decades.
It is, but, you know, it's important to remember that progress isn't always a straight line.
True.
You know, there are always going to be setbacks,
yeah.
challenges, times when it feels like we're going backwards.
Yeah, two steps back for every one step forward.
Exactly. But the important thing is that we don't give up, that we keep pushing for a better, fairer society.
Even when it feels impossible.
Even when it feels impossible, yeah.
And that's where the Church of Tinkerbell comes in, right?
Right.
They end their article with a really strong call to action, urging readers to get involved, to speak up, and to fight back against these changes.
Hmm.
They seem to think that if we don't actively work to protect and promote diversity and inclusion, well, those values could disappear.
And a lot of people agree with them. There are so many organizations and people all over the country who are doing something about it. They're organizing, they're protesting, they're making sure people know what's going on.
Yeah, that's what gives me hope, you know?
You too.
The fact that so many people are refusing to be silent.
Yeah.
That they're willing to stand up for what they believe in.
Absolutely.
It reminds us that we all have a part to play in shaping the future of this country.
We do.
It's not just up to the politicians or activists or organizations. It's up to each of us to make choices that show what we value, to speak out against injustice,
yeah.
and to work towards a society that's truly inclusive.
And it starts with conversations like this one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, by talking about these issues, sharing our different points of view, listening to each other,
yeah.
and challenging our own biases, we can start to create a more understanding and compassionate world.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive,
yeah.
I want to leave you with one last thought. We've covered a lot today,
but
there's always more to learn, more to think about, more to discuss. And I encourage you to keep having these conversations, to seek out different voices, and to really engage with the issues that matter most to you.
Remember, progress doesn't just happen.
No.
It takes constant effort, it takes being aware of what's going on, and it takes a willingness to challenge the way things are. But it's worth it. And together, we can create a future where everyone has the opportunity to succeed, no matter their race, gender, background, or beliefs.
That brings us to the end of our deep dive. Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you found this conversation informative and maybe even a little bit inspiring. Until next time, keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep working towards a better world for all of us.